When I was thinking about this episode and I was thinking about whether or not I was even in the mood to do it, I talked to my best friend, a huge shout out to Vintage Brit, which is where New Brit gets her name. And she was just like, you know, if you're going to do this, like, the reason the show works is always because you guys are really honest. And if you go in there and you're pretending to not be sad and to not be insecure, you're not going to do well. And so I'm going to shout out right now that I'm like, I'm feeling very insecure right now. And there's a lot of vulnerability regarding doing the show without New Brit. And also, like, you know, as we all know, I've been a little bit of a slut. As you know, my email address is sluttyforalesbian
and at gmail.com. And a round of applause.
Yeah. But I recently...
Pussy tie.
Yeah, hence the pussy tie. But I recently started seeing someone who I really like. And...
Yay.
Yeah, all right. Calm down. And I haven't let her listen to the show yet. for obvious reasons. Hence the sluttiness. And... dealing with that vulnerability has been, it's a really long time since I've liked someone, and I'm very surprised that at the age of 33, I can still get completely terrified. Like, on one of our first dates, as you know, so we all know my MO for hooking up with people, which is grabbing them and making out with them with a consent talk. Yes. But on one of my first dates with this girl, she was like, suggesting that I come back to her place, and I jumped into a cab and went home. Like, I was just like a crazy person acting like a fucking insane person. So I'm now trying to be honest about my vulnerability and let all those things develop. And so, yeah, if you hear me being vulnerable, that's what's going on. The New Brit leaving and the seeing someone I care about and all that shit. And it occurred to me when I was talking to Vintage Brit about this that everyone else here probably has something that they're vulnerable about too. And I was thinking, Isaac, because you did say that at some point you were comfortable talking about it. It's okay if you're not right now, but you were feeling kind of vulnerable the other day when we were Facebook chatting.
Yeah. I'm wondering if vulnerable is a good word for it, but yeah. So, I mean, just to give a little context, I'm in like month 5 of hormone replacement therapy. So I've been taking testosterone for about 5 months. And mostly been a pretty smooth ride for me, but every once in a while, usually like right after I take it, it's like on a 2-week cycle, I can get a little adolescent, I guess we'll say. Maybe vulnerable is a good word for it. But mostly just like if you can try to imagine being like 13 in like a 28-year-old situation, yeah. That's kind of like what I go through every once in a while. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey, but definitely not one that I could say was 100% easy, I guess. Even though I'd like to. And I think a lot of times, especially for trans people who are like going through this process, it's like tempting to sort of try and portray to everybody that everything is like smooth sailing 100% of the time. And it's not always. For me a lot, and it's funny that like I'm on the radio, but for me like the biggest change has been like dealing with my voice changing, because I'm also a singer, and so it's just been weird, especially when I'm singing to records that like I've listened to forever, to not be able to easily do things, or there are certain things that I can do vocally, but to me it's just, I guess I feel a little insecure about it, or like worried that it's something that's gonna affect me more than maybe I would have thought. But yeah, I guess as far as vulnerability, that's kind of something that is happening for me right now. But in general, I'm kind of arrogant. So
arrogance helps to counteract vulnerability.
It's a byproduct of vulnerability, yeah. I guess you could say. But yeah.
Well, you sound better than the other day. You sounded like...
Yeah, it was just like pretty down about the fact that there were like a lot of changes that I feel like are out of my control. And yeah. I think I'm like the kind of person who struggles with not having a ton of control and not knowing a lot about like what's going to happen in the future. So it's been hard, but I mean, a rewarding journey, but obviously difficult. in some ways, for sure.
I also want to point out that Isaac is starting to get a neck beard. Which is like, really funny because the rest of his face isn't growing yet. And so it's like, I'm thinking like in a few months, you're just going to have like this long ass, like, droopy beard. And like,
So I decided after Thanksgiving, I was just going to let it grow and see what happened in like a month's time. And so I've got this kind of like weird, like prepubescent thing happening. But it's been fun. Like, it's been enjoyable to like see the changes for the most part, and like my girlfriend and I are like having fun with it. So I decided, like, fuck the haters. Like, I'm just gonna let it grow and see what happens.
They're don't worry. I mean, there's like tons of like gross guys with like facial hair doing weird things. So like,
And like the one thing they don't tell
all of
you,
Williamsburg.
Like, exactly. Well, this is the thing, is like having a beard is cool or whatever. The thing they don't tell you is if you don't want one, that you have to fucking shave every day.
Oh,
and
yeah, that
so
must
this
be
is
new.
Like a new thing that like I had to do every day, and I was like, come on, I like have a hard time doing things every day anyway. So I might as well just let it go, and so I'm just seeing what happens with it.
Like, I immediately think of pornography and it immediately turns me off because that is not what my sex with other femme presenting women or
that's another point is that I've also run across this where guys will have, they like the idea of a woman being with another woman, but they are actually thinking of ever being with another feminine woman. And then they see that she's maybe choosing a masculine woman, and all of a sudden that is less of a turn on, and now they're threatened. Very interesting.
Well, Isaac, I think we were actually talking about this the other day, that like, you know, some guys, when you identified as a woman, and then like, you know, you'd be like, maybe, not that you ever liked anyone before Catherine, but maybe maybe you were flirting with like their girlfriend, or they just thought you were flirting with their girlfriend. That like those dudes would be like pretty.
I feel like that's kind of a common experience. Is like, I feel like the most pressure that I felt, or backlash, I guess, from dating women in general has been from men who feel particularly threatened. Like, it's hard when you're talking about young groups of friends, like high school friends, but like, I had a lot of friends back in the day who, male friends, who ended up kind of resenting me, because a lot of times, you know, like, we're all in a group of friends together, people date each other, and I would end up dating people that my male friends had dated, and, you know, ex-girlfriends of theirs. And that, I always felt like was, you know, once you're in an actually committed relationship with somebody's ex, I guess, that I felt, though, that our friendship really suffered. Like, my friendship with those guys really suffered, and maybe, like, more so than it would have if I was a cis man. You know, so it's interesting, because I feel
it's
like...
Somehow even more of a betrayal.
And as though, like, not only more of a betrayal, but that, like, I'm more of an asshole. You know, for moving in, or like something, I don't know. It's
or
weird...
just cis men in general giving a little bit more value to masculinity and masculine presenting people. You know, it's like I've gotten a lot of aggression from men, and where they actually were threatened, and I think it had everything to do with the fact that I was masculine presenting, because their girlfriend at the time was saying that she was bisexual, she was interested in women, but she didn't, I guess, specify the type of women that she was interested in. They see me, and all of a sudden,
That's a problem.
That doesn't turn me on. Now I'm upset. So now I'm not in control of the situation, and now I'm actually threatened, because I think there might be something going on here that I can't offer.
That's a great point.
Only because I'm masculine presenting. It's just sexism.
Straight sexism. And I really think that cis men think that like masculine presenting lesbians are like sneaky.
Move in on their women.
Lesbian folks and gay folks, like the assumption that they're always gonna be trying to hit on people. They're always gonna try to move in. Like we're.
How many times I'm walking down the street and a guy's like with his girlfriend, and then they see. I'm telling you, this happens all the time. They see me before their girlfriend sees me, and then they pull their girlfriend closer or do some kind of like obvious insecure move. And it's hilarious.
That could just be particular to you, though.
I think that's a Jacksism. Like.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, that's Jacksism.
No, 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 no. Oh, my God. Yes, everything is Jacksism.
to go from 38 to then 50, and suddenly I was going to have to get naked in front of somebody new and like train somebody new, and you know, so I
training them.
You know, I definitely was like, oh shit. You know, what the fuck? I thought I was going to be with this woman my rest of my life. I was never going to have to go through this again. But so for me, that definitely was one of those, after not having been touched in so long, and then like, okay, with somebody new that, you know, shit.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
You know, with a body that's 12 years older, you know, everything changes. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so. Kind of an intimidating task,
and
right?
You've had some body changes, so you know, too.
It
can
for
get
sure.
a little different.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. And, like,
in front of our eyes.
It's
oh my
literally
God.
Happening.
Your body is changing right now.
Yeah, it's like, actually, you can see if... If you videotape me and then play it in slow motion, you can see me morphing slowly. it's different. I guess it's not terribly different because the more I think about it, the more, like, in my past sex life, I feel like I just identified as a man already, just maybe not vocally. So I feel like my sex hasn't changed a lot, like the sex that I have. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little bit different. My sex drive is different.
Is it increased?
Yeah, and like pretty significantly, and so I feel like I have to like take care of that in like certain ways, and just so that I'm not like constantly annoying
your girlfriend.
Yeah, I constantly like, annoying
like,
her. Yeah,
just, like humping her, like just like working on something, and you're like a dog humping her leg. Just, like,
behind her at the kitchen sink.
Yeah,
come on, baby, come on.
Right, just kind of like lurking around. And it's also tough because we have like opposite schedules right now too. So by the time I'm ready to go, she's like ready to sleep.
And
yeah.
So yeah, it's been a lot of like good eyes.
I guess I wanted to talk about intimacy for a couple of reasons. One is we haven't. And two is it also applies to everyone, and I feel like a lot of the topics lately have been exclusively queer, and while I love queerness and my queer self, you know, I kind of want to reach out to
be
the rest
a little
of
more
the world
inclusive
as well. But also a good friend of mine, my best friend, Vintage Brit, who, as I've mentioned before, New Brit gets her name from. She sent me an article. Like of some study that said that couples that fart in front of each other are like have higher rates of happiness than couples that don't. And of course, if you're farting in front of each other, I think that implies that you feel quite intimate and comfortable.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, there's a big difference between intimacy and sex, which I'd like to explore as well.
Exactly.
But so Jax, tell me about farting in relationships.
Oh my, thank you for that segue.
Is that something that you ever do?
I guilty, yeah. Yeah, I have to say guilty as charged.
Okay. And when does it usually like get, like when do you, like does it just happen
usually,
by accident, or do you make a decision? Like, today I'm going to fart in front of her.
Usually
her her.
It happens by accident. It's something that I try to avoid for as long as possible.
Yeah.
In the early stages, you know.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the hottest thing.
The early stages where there's a quote from 30 Rock that I love. It's like, love is going to sleep in your makeup and pooping at the Taco Bell down the street. yeah, those early stages where it's like, I never poop. I don't know what you're talking about. Super excited to, you know, have new listeners anywhere. And again, just tell me, like, how you found us. Email me, like, go to our website, livinandlovinandnyc.com, and be like, I found out about you because, like, you know, I was getting ass banged in a porta potty somewhere, and someone said, like, you know, someone was like, oh God, you know, this feels as good as listening to Living and Loving in NYC.
So that's
and then
how I found out about the show.
Exactly, yeah.
Same. Oftentimes when I'm being banged in a porta potty, I think about listening to you. So,
oh.
You know, it kind of, it's like the same but the opposite.
I appreciate that.
I wish I could be sharing this with the Victator right now. If only it were a call-in show, I'd call you from there.
I appreciate that.
Just start taping that.
Yeah, definitely. I encourage anyone who gets ass banged in a porta potty to tape it and send it to me as well. Please do.
That sounds like a lot of work for a very small space, though.
It does.
You're definitely gonna lose your phone, you know.
I like, you know, as
absolutely.
As some of you might recall, you know, I have had some public sex in my life, but I've never had sex in a porta potty, and I think that might be an area where I'm a little bit of a prude.
I'm surprised to hear that, to be honest.
Have you had sex in a porta potty, Brit?
I've never had sex in a porta potty, but I've masturbated in a porta potty.
Oh, okay. Well, so there's a porta potty.
That is awesome.
There's a porta potty right outside the studio where we're in.
That's the one that I'm referring to.
Did you? Did you just have to like rub?
I just rubbed one out right before I came on the show because I got so aroused. So it was
really. That's actually what I was doing instead of peeing. That's why I had that moment of uncomfortableness, you know, where I pointed out that I hate the sound of my business hitting the filthy clod of toilet paper and people's porta potty refuse.
Yeah, and then but she was saying, and I'm gonna introduce these people in a minute, and you'll know who's talking. We'll get like 45 minutes into it, and I'll be like, oh, here's who they are.
Guess who's here?
But so she was peeing in the porta potty, and she was like, "Oh, don't you love the sound of your pee hitting cess?" And I thought she said sex, but she was saying cess like cesspool. And then I thought about it, like, never occurred to me for the jerking offers of porta potties that, like, what if I pee and then my pee splashes their sperm up into my vagina and I get pregnant?
I think you're thinking about that way too much.
I'm really sorry, babe, but that's just simply not how it works.
Is that not?
No. Did you go to school?
No, I never went to school.
This is the things you learn in human biology. Maybe they don't teach that here in this country.
There's a lot of things they don't.
Splash can get you pregnant. If someone jerks off onto your labia, that shit can run up in there and get you pregnant.
I agree. And as the only masturbator, porta potty masturbator among us, did you come into the toilet? Did you come into the pool of cess?
When I originally did masturbate in porta potty, I did do it into the cess.
So there you go. There, I suppose that means that there is always a potentiality that there is live seed floating atop the toilet paper.
To like abandon ship, and it was like
I was. Wait, being, do tell.
I was being GGG. I was there was this girl that I was seeing who said that she was like in incest fantasies, and I think
that's rough.
I think that as a fantasy, like I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong because she was also very clear. I don't want to have sex. She was like, I don't want to have sex with my parents and my siblings, but like sometimes like the fantasy of other people was kind of sexy, and I was like, all right, like. I don't know. When I was younger, I never really had incest fantasies, but I would have like intense molestation fantasies, like a creepy guy like molesting me as a teenager, like absolutely totally hot. You know what I mean?
Anyway, I could somewhat relate to that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And again, these are fantasies. These are not real life people. You know, PSA. But so the point is, so I don't think something necessarily wrong with you for thinking these things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I could be down with it, and the role play didn't even get that far. It was just basically she was like going down on me, and then I was like, "Daddy's watching." she got so fucking excited, like I like never seen her get that intense, and then like started like throwing me around, and then like she started like saying a whole bunch of stuff about like, yeah, you want to turn daddy on, like this, like, you know, like blah blah blah, and I was like, no, we have to stop because of course all
get
of
off
a
the ride.
Of course all of a sudden I just imagined my father standing there watching us having sex. I was like, no, we have got to shut this down. But I'm GGG. I gave it a shot. Yeah. And then realized it did not work for me and got the fuck out. So, you know, you always have
good
the option
for you
to do
for
that,
trying
people.
It, you know?
And good for you for being like, no, like, let's shut this down.
Yeah.
I think those are two commendable things. Yeah. Like, trying and knowing your limits.
But the sad part was, this is someone who I really liked having sex with. I could not have sex with her ever again. It ruined her for me 100%. I mean, we weren't dating, so, like, it's not like anyone's heart got broken. But and I did have a lot going on at the time, and so I just sent her this, like, you know, like,
was
hey.
Was this Port Authority?
No, but it was someone I was fucking at the same time. But so
okay.
Anyway, so actually no, it was Port Authority. Right, it was Port Authority. I apologize. Yeah. Oh, great lady. But could not fuck her ever again. So
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, if you're listening, Port Authority, you're wonderful. It's not you, it's me. I can't do the incest
thing.
It's
daddy.
Yeah, it's daddy. It's totally daddy. It's not you, it's daddy. That's also a great way to end things with anyone from now on. Yeah. Aside from like weird threesome stuff, like Staggy, is there, do you have any like no go there things where like if someone suggests a certain thing you just can't do it?
I'm sure there's a host of things like that, but I don't know. Well, so like, I don't think anything has actually come up where I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've never been, no one ever asked me to role play an incest thing. Yeah. I think I would struggle with that too. Not because I think it's wrong, but like just throwing myself into that imaginative space, I think would be upsetting, you know, for various reasons. Yeah. And it's hard to get turned on at that point. Understood. It might just be incompatible for me.
You know, but and for the funny, record, you can totally lose your lady boner. It doesn't just happen to boys.
I was technically in an incest situation once, but it was, I think, totally okay. Like, I believe it was completely okay.
Okay, you need to elaborate.
Yes. So the first threesome that I ever had was with two brothers that I knew.
Oh, I've heard about you. Oh, that's someone else that you had group sex with?
No, actually, I have to say, and if you're watching, I love, listening. If you're listening, I love you.
You're not watching.
I think you're completely rad for this. The other lady who I met via, I meet really quality women through group sex. That has to be said.
It's just a great way to meet women.
People. It is a great way to meet women. Anyway, no, this woman I was friends with, she basically had two identical twins hit her up on OkCupid at the same time. Mm. And it, you know, basically they wanted to date her together. And she ended up in this, like, having this, like, summer of having constant threesomes with these two 22-year-old identical twins. I was just like, shit, you just won OkCupid. But yeah, that was not Staggy Mulligan. That was somebody else.
But Staggy, so in this situation, with the brothers, were they fucking each other as well, or were they fucking you?
No, I think it was more like they just liked tag teaming.
Oh,
girls.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only thing that was weird about it is I think it was maybe, and I never asked them about it, but I think it was maybe a way for one of the brothers was older, and I think it was a way for him to access girls who were his younger brother's age.
Oh, okay.
But that was the only questionable part. Okay.
But otherwise, you felt like it was totally above board. It didn't bother you at all to be tag teamed by brothers?
No, because I think it would have been stranger, except I had known both of them for a couple of years.
Right.
Like, I knew them pretty well. Yeah. So it was just like they were my friends.
How engaged were they while they were, like, fucking you? Were they, like, talking to each other about it? Was it... Was it like, look at me doing this, like, look at how I'm pounding her, like, you know, like,
not that much.
Okay.
Like, it was, they were very, like, cordial, and they would, like, help each other with the condom situation. Like, they were just organized.
You mean put them on each other?
No, just like,
okay.
Like, well, because
like, that's very quite cordial. Beyond cordial.
Let me slide a condom on you with my mouth, bro.
No. It was more like making sure, because we did this. We had a four-way later. I had multiple experiences with them, and so it was like, you know, they were just careful, like making sure, you know, like if one of them had been fucking my ass and they were gonna like switch to being blown or whatever, they would like make sure everything was chill. But yeah, it was, they weren't like, they didn't really objectify me that much. They were like, oh, her ass feels great or something. You know, they would say something complimentary, it didn't get really like gross or anything.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of
like, oh man, she looks like she's very physically responsible. Always something I like to hear during sex.